email inbox getting a little too full?
Somewhere between 75 and 90% of emails can be handled by saying, okay, or tomorrow, ask Jill.
This week's Circuit Section has some tips for taming the email beast, and Sam Grobart, assistant technology editor here at the Times, is here with a preview. Now, since the advent of CD and MP3, one question for music lovers persists. How can I convert my vinyl record albums to digital music files? Our own audio expert, Pedro Rafael Rosado, is going to tell you how. All this and more on MIT Tech Talk, a technology podcast in the New York Times. I'm J.D. Beersdorfer.
I'm Pedro Rafael Rosado.
And Bettina is still on a boat somewhere up north. But first, some news. Flickr announced that video uploads just aren't for paid members anymore. This week, the site announced holders of free Flickr accounts could also upload 2 clips a month. As with all Flickr video, the clips must be shorter than 90 seconds and smaller than 150 megabytes. Flickr Pro members can now upload HD video files as well, but that 150 megabyte limit is still in place, so enjoy those 10-second high-def clips there.
150 megabytes of high-definition video. You get a picture of your kid almost falling down?
Yeah, or baby's first half step. you know, I have a feeling that if it hasn't happened by now, they may extend that a little bit just because people will point out that 150 megs for a high-def clip is, you know, not so much.
That's a good point.
Also in the news, with an uncharacteristic lack of fanfare, Apple quietly rolled out a whole new bunch of hardware on Tuesday, including new desktop computers. The iMac and Mac Pro both got cheaper and faster than previous versions, and the tiny Mac Mini got a more powerful graphics card. Apple says this new Mac Mini uses energy more efficiently than its predecessor. The Airport Extreme base station and the Time Capsule wireless backup drive also got updates.
I knew I should have waited. I just bought a Mac Pro, too.
But speaking of the week in hardware, Intel said it plans to put its Atom processor, now commonly found in those low-cost netbooks, into other devices. These include entertainment systems for cars, video conferencing gadgets, interactive kiosks, media phones, and robots. I need to find out more on this robot thing.
I am so intrigued.
Yeah, it was in one of the press releases, and, you know, just low-cost, powerful chips and robots, that's got to be something happening there. Now, the text-to-speech feature on Amazon's Kindle 2 got a lot of people excited last week, but it seems like not every ebook will be an audiobook. Book publishers and authors were up in arms over the potential loss of audiobook rights for their works, and Amazon claims that that text-to-speech function did not violate copyright law. But by Friday, the company announced it would reconfigure the new Kindle to allow publishers to disable the text-to-speech function for book titles of their choosing. And finally, talk about your cheap advertising. Skittles, the rainbow-colored candy, has been substituting the Skittles.com homepage with pages from social networking sites like Twitter and Facebook over these past few days. Earlier in the week, the candy got a big buzz when the company put the flowing stream of Twitter search results from the word Skittles on its homepage. Twitter users, of course, all piled on with good and bad tweets about the product, and some comments were as colorful as the candy itself, but you gotta agree, there's no such thing as bad publicity.
I don't understand why they're doing this. I mean, what's the point?
Actually, I think agency.com is the agency, the advertising agency that's doing this. You know, they've been doing websites forever at agency, and I think they're just looking at all the social networking sites, because I think right now, when last time I looked, it was a Facebook fan page that's up if you go to Skittles.com. At one point, they'd replaced their entire homepage with their Wikipedia entry. This Twitter thing was just, you know, getting tons of buzz, and people were going there. And as you watch some of the comments roll by, people say, oh, you know, hate Skittles, but then every once in a while, gee, I really want to see if my vending machine has some Skittles in it. So I think they're just really playing on the whole social networking thing, people's need to contribute. Oh, I can see my, you know, Twitter name on the Skittles.com homepage if I keep tweeting. You know, it was just very compelling, I think, for people who do a lot of social networking to try to get on the bandwagon there.
It seems very dangerous, though. I mean, like you said, that you could have tons and tons of tweets of people just saying how bad this product is.
Yeah, and it's definitely it's very gutsy move. And I think they did have some tweets up there. I think there was one that Financial Times noticed about, do Skittles make pedophiles obese or something? You know, all people coming out of the woodwork. And the only thing they were really doing to stop people from posting was when you went to the Skittle site, they asked, you know, what your birthday was, because I guess you had to be over 13 or whatever to post. But, you know, that doesn't stop anybody. So.
Oh, wait a minute. I got an idea. You know what we should do?
What should we do?
We should take the show page and substitute it with our Facebook fan page.
I like that idea because it'd probably be a heck of a lot easier to update to. So you can find links to all these stories on our show page at nytimes.com/techtalk. Up next, I'm going to have a little chat with editor Sam Grobart about what's in circuits this week. The Circuits pages this week have a story on managing your email, something many of us can probably relate to. Sam Grobart, the assistant technology editor here at the Times, is sitting right next to me and is going to give us a little sneak peek of that story. Welcome to MIT Tech Talk, Sam.
Glad to be here, Jude.
So, managing your email, I take it we're not talking about spam here, right?
No, spam pretty much gets handled nowadays by a lot of spam filters, and that's easy to take care of. You just hit delete. But there's enough email that you do want that in and of itself is already overwhelming.
And this is the email that you have to deal with at some point, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So what are some of the things that people can do to soothe their nerves when it comes to dealing with this vast overload of mail?
Well, I'd say the first thing that they'd want to do is turn off all those email notifications. I mean, you know, I've had this happen on my computer where an icon blinks, there's a chime, I get a preview of the message beforehand. All of this is happening, and because of the volume of email I'm getting, it's happening probably every 2 minutes.
That's kind of some sensory overload there.
Exactly. I'm not a fighter pilot. I can't handle that kind of data. Mm-hmm. And so one thing you can do is just turn all that off. I mean, we've had email for 10 years or more. We're all pretty well conditioned to check our inbox. And arguably, you probably shouldn't even check your inbox that often. Maybe 3 times an hour would be enough. I mean, people can wait. If it takes you 20 minutes to get back to them, it should be okay. If it's more important, they'll call you or they'll send you an IM. There are lots of other ways. But eliminate all the notifications and take care of email on your schedule.
Good advice. So are there organizational things, and once you've got all of the bells and the whistles, you know, literally the bells and whistles turned off, once you've got this, you know, pile of mail on your box, how do you prioritize or what do you do there?
Well, I would say another sort of important general principle here is that any useful email management strategy isn't going to work if it's very complicated. So what this article, which was written by a great writer named Farhad Manju, Farhad was saying is he doesn't have some huge color coding system or tag system or multiple folders, because it's a little bit like a really complicated diet, right? It might work for a couple of weeks, but eventually you start to slide back, and before you know it, the whole thing is, you know, you're back to where you started. So the principle here is keep it really simple. And one way you can do that is by taking a few hours one day and going through your inbox and looking at any messages about 2 to 3 months old and answering them or deleting them. And by the way, anything older than that, you probably can archive, because if it's been sitting in your inbox for more than 3 months, it's kind of like those clothes that you haven't worn for, you know, more than a year. You're never going
to
wear
them. It's time to do something with them.
Exactly. Exactly. So what you do is you go through your inbox, you archive all your messages, and now, for at least a brief moment, you have an empty inbox.
Beautiful sight.
Exactly. And this is the goal. This is exactly what your inbox should pretty much always look like.
Wow.
And what you're then going to do is when messages come in, which you'll handle at a nice regular interval, you will do one of a few things with them. You will answer them. I find, generally speaking, somewhere between 75 and 90% of emails can be handled by saying, okay, or tomorrow, ask Jill. You know, they're all very simple answers. So answer them. David Allen, who is sort of a big productivity guru that a lot of people tend to like and who's written a book called Getting Things Done, has a very good rule about this, which is if something takes less than 2 minutes to resolve, do it and do it immediately. If it takes more than 2 minutes, maybe you need to find time later. But most things can be handled in a 2-minute window.
So nip that right in the bud.
Nip it right in the bud. And, you know, people keep setting them up. You keep knocking them down. Other things might take a little bit longer. And you can let those sit in your inbox, and you could even flag them. You know, most email programs have a flag or a star or something to let you know. But those emails that are sitting in that inbox are a reminder of your disorganization. And so by the end of the day, you may want to set aside 15 to 30 minutes to go through those. And if you had to think a little bit more about your response, you can do that then. But by the time you leave your desk or go to bed or whatever it is you're doing, you're back to that pristine, desert, glacial purity of an empty inbox.
That sounds like a wonderful thing. And you can do all of this with existing email programs, right? You don't need any special software.
You really don't. You don't. That's the thing here. You don't need to spend money on this. You don't need to get a crazy program or follow some really intricate plan in a book that you paid $29.95 for or anything. This is really just about getting your inbox to a clean state, handling things quickly, and at the end of the day, taking care of the few remaining items that may have required a little bit more time.
I'm definitely going to read this because I think I've got mail in my inbox from like 2002 that I keep saying I'm going to get to someday.
You're never going to get to it.
Yeah, I think it's just time to bury that.
Yeah.
So thanks so much, Sam, for giving us the preview on the story here. And before you leave, what else is going to be in Circuits this week that we should get excited about?
Well, we have got a column from David Pogue. He'll be looking at Samsung's new Memoir cell phone, which is a camera phone that sort of is more camera than phone. It's one of those new, you know, hey, it's got 8 megapixels and it takes a pretty decent picture. I'll leave the rest of it to David's review. And then we have a few other products being shown in our geek section and so forth.
All right. So you can find all of this on our New York Times personal technology page. We will have a shortcut link to that on our show page at nytimes.com/tech talk. Sam, thanks again.
Thank you, Jude.
Man, I love that sound. Check it out. Vinyl records have officially made a comeback. Well, for many of us, they never went away, but that's neither here nor there. According to Nielsen SoundScan, almost 1.9 million vinyl albums were purchased in 2008, more than in any other year since the company began tracking LP sales in 1991. CD sales have tanked, but digital downloads have skyrocketed. My guess is that has more to do with convenience. I don't think it reflects a consumer shift away from physical media. I enjoy the experience of listening to vinyl on my home stereo, but these days, I also love listening to my favorite music on the go with my portable media player. If I'm in the mood for classical, boom, it's on. A little Latin, bam. There it is. A little British indie, yeah, that's in there too. Replacing all my vinyl with CDs or digital downloads just for the sake of convenience was an incredibly expensive proposition. So I decided to bite the bullet and digitize my LPs and 12-inch singles by recording them onto my PC. Once a record is digitized, I can create a CD or MP3s from the uncompressed audio file for playback on my portable devices. I invested in an inexpensive but decent quality USB audio interface and some basic audio editing and recording software. That's it. I was determined to complete this project on the cheap, so no fancy USB turntables or ridiculously overpriced software for me. I would use what I had and spend as little as possible on what I needed. Rarely does a month go by when I don't get asked by someone how they might be able to digitize their own LPs, so I decided it was finally the right time to just lay it out for everyone. You can Google plenty of tutorials with step-by-step instructions on how to digitize vinyl, but that's not what this is all about. Consider this a getting started document. Just to be clear, making a backup copy of content you own is recognized and accepted as fair use under current U.S. copyright law. Converting your old LPs or cassettes into a CD is perfectly legal. If you decide to rip that CD into MP3s and load up your personal media player, that's still acceptable under the fair use principle. Sell the CD you've burned from your LP or make the MP3s available on the internet? Not so much. You'd be violating copyright law in pretty much every country on the planet. The first step prior to digitizing your vinyl is to make sure each side of your record is as clean as possible before recording. I use my own disc cleaning fluid recipe, but I've used the Discwasher D4 cleaning system with great results. You can get the Discwasher cleaning kit for less than $25. You'll need a turntable, obviously, a separate preamplifier, or a stereo receiver with an integrated preamp that has at least one stereo output. You'll also need a computer with a sound card that includes a line-in connector. But an external audio interface is a better solution if you're looking for the best possible sound quality. SilentWay.com maintains a very useful table of interfaces and sound cards sorted by price. My personal favorite is an older USB interface, the Eterol UA1EX. It's a real workhorse, and it retails for under $80. When it comes to Windows audio editing and recording software, there are tons of inexpensive applications out there that will do the job of accurately recording your vinyl. Goldwave Incorporated's Digital Audio Editor is a good place to start. Goldwave has a steep learning curve, but it retails for around $35, which might make that curve appear a bit flatter. Groove Mechanic from Coyote Electronics is a $40 noise reduction system and another good choice. If you have a limited budget but want extensive recording and cleanup options, you can't go wrong with Sony SoundForge Audio Studio. It's a home version of their professional mastering software, SoundForge, and retails for around $70. There are several inexpensive audio editors for Mac users, including GarageBand from Apple and Freeverse's $80 offering Sound Studio. Another option for Mac users is the well-regarded Final Vinyl, an audio editor that's bundled with Griffin Technologies' iMic USB audio interface and also available as a free download. The iMic retails for $50 and is a decent low-cost external sound card replacement for both Mac and Windows-based machines. My personal recommendation for inexpensive digital audio recording software is Audacity, a free open-source application that works on Windows, Mac, and Linux platforms. Audacity includes a very basic audio cleanup tool that doesn't offer you much flexibility, but it does an adequate job. Once you've set up all your gear, recorded the audio, cleaned it up to your satisfaction, and saved the uncompressed recording, you'll want to split that larger file into separate tracks. Audacity allows you to label sections that can be exported into individual tracks using the Export Multiple tool. Sony SoundForge Audio Studio will let you do the same, except they refer to it as exporting a region. If you're looking to load up your media player, convert the tracks to your favorite lossy audio compression format and update the file's metadata tag with the appropriate information. If you're looking to burn your files onto a disk, export the tracks as uncompressed audio files and use a CD burning application capable of creating a Redbook audio CD to complete the job. I've converted most of my record collection and keep plugging away. I'll never stop listening to music on my trusty turntable, but now that my iPod is loaded up with all my vinyl, I can enjoy those 12-inch remixes of classic cheesy new wave tracks without running my wife right out of the room. By the way, are there any record stores left in New York City?
Well, that's about all the time we have on today's show. If you'd like to drop us an email, tell us what you thought, you can address that message to nyttt@nytimes.com.
Don't forget to visit our fan page on Facebook.
And if you want to find us on iTunes, just pop to that search box and look for NYT Tech Talk.
And a big thanks to Matthew Tardy for providing the music for the show.
For the New York Times, I'm J.D. Beiersdorfer.
And I'm Pedro Rafael Rosado.
See you next week.
See ya.